Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We're in the book of Proverbs tonight, chapter 24. Chapter 24. We've been here in chapter 24 and really 23, 22, 23, 24, really started back in verse 20. There's really just a group of sayings that Proverbs doesn't always kind of go like this, but there's a period of here that I think there's some 20, 30 sayings they say that kind of do go in line a little bit. So we're doing this part a little more expositorily, except for we're going to run all over the Bible tonight. Sometimes the Proverbs, we often, there's a little bit of a thought there, and then we have to kind of unfold it, right? It's not, the whole thing isn't there, it's a thought, and then what we'll see a piece of that thought, and then we find other places where God talks about that same thing a little bit more. So, chapter 24 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate." Now, that's the only verse we're going to cover tonight in Proverbs. In Proverbs, we're going to talk about a few things. So, number one, wisdom comes from where? From the Lord. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Now, when we talk about wisdom, right, we're not referring to... Okay, that's true. We're not talking about knowledge, but also I was going to say something else, but what else? When we're talking about wisdom, we're not referring to what? What's that? Intelligence is what I have here. Smarts, yeah. So intelligence, what I have, you can put smarts, whatever. Intelligence sounds a little more intelligent than smarts, but smartness is there. But when we're talking about wisdom, listen, I want you to get this. When we're talking about wisdom, we're not talking about how smart somebody is or how intelligent somebody is, right? You ever seen somebody that's like has a really high IQ and they use really big words, but they're not very wise, right? I'm talking about the things of God. Now, number one under that, biblical wisdom, right? When we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about biblical wisdom, is the ability to apply knowledge and understanding in a way that aligns with God's will and purpose. So that's kind of a long definition because I liked it. I looked it up and I liked that. I thought this is a good definition. So it's the ability to apply what? Knowledge, right? And understanding, right? Because we talk about knowledge. With knowledge, the middle way is we get to understand it, and then we have some wisdom is when we apply it. So what we're doing, though, is we're applying it. Here's the real key to this. We're applying that wisdom in a way that aligns with not me or not with my neighbor, not with even the person sitting next to me on the pew, not even with my pastor, right? Where wisdom is applying knowledge and understanding in a way that aligns with God's will and God's purpose. Now, here's the question. How do I know God's will for me? Right? I just pray real hard until I feel a good feeling. Right? Is that it? You pray until you get a good feeling, my stomach feels a little bit. Matter of fact, if you pray too long, you're going to get a good feeling. You're going to get a bad feeling because you're hungry. Right? No, where do we find, how do we find God's will and God's purpose? His Word, right? And do I sound like a broken record sometimes? We go back to this thing. I tell you, folks, I want us to be Bible believers, not in word, but in the Word. We talk about being Bible believers, and I've talked about this with some friends of mine, and I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, you know, we talk about being Bible believers, and then I was, and matter of fact, there was another preacher I was talking to. He said, we're talking about being Bible believers, and then I find some of the things we're doing aren't really the Bible. They're man's tradition. And matter of fact, sometimes we elevate tradition more than the Bible. And what I want to say, by the way, these are things we accidentally do, right? Because it's not bad stuff, not bad stuff. Not usually, you know, it's not going to be, I mean, sometimes, but what I'm talking about here isn't bad stuff. We get into something and we get to find a little bit and we find we're doing something because it made sense to me or it made sense you know, logically or ethically to a group of people. But the fact is, what we want to do, if we're going to find God's will and His purpose, we're going to find it in here. It's going to be designed in here. So, A under that. In other words, it's to live according to what we've learned about God. So that's really where we go with this thing. It's really this, though, folks. It's this way, if we say it this way. It is to make decisions, right? So wisdom is really making decisions, isn't it? It's to make choices, make decisions based on what we know about God's will and God's purpose. So if somebody doesn't know the will of God, what would we call that person? We call them lost, yeah. Good, yeah, we call them lost. But so in here, what is the word that people are called in here? Verse 7. A fool. Now, somebody that doesn't know about God isn't a fool. We call them, there's a word, we call them ignorant. Okay? Now, is ignorant talking about intelligence? That's also not talking about intelligence. It just means you haven't learned. There could be really, really smart, very intelligent people that just have not heard the gospel yet. Right? So we don't call them a fool for not following God. We call them ignorant. They don't know. And so, but matter of fact, we all came into life like that, right? We all came into life at some point. We learned these things. For some that grew up in church, thankfully they learned about God before they didn't know didn't know about God. Right? For many. Okay, so B, wisdom isn't just information that we can get from a book or a class. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. You just said, right? See, you're going to find me a little contradictory here. Okay, and I am going to be a little contradictory because there's more to it. So wisdom isn't just some information that we can get from a book or from a Bible class, even. It's not just some information. Listen, that is what we call, somebody said out here earlier, we call it what? Knowledge. That's exactly right. What we get from the Bible, what we get from a book, particularly this book, and what we get from a class is some knowledge about God, but knowledge itself isn't wisdom. Right? And I've talked about this last week as well. We can know a lot about God. That doesn't mean we're wise. Somebody can know a lot. I think you ought to know the Word of God. Amen? Yeah, you ought to know the Word of God. I like it when I start a verse and congregation can finish it. All right, you know what that tells me? You know some of the Word of God. When I started, when I got saved, I didn't know any of it, right? Obviously. And so the more that we are around, we got to get some knowledge. Can we have wisdom without knowledge? The answer is no. How can you have wisdom if you don't know about God? You've got to have stuff. But it's more what I'm saying, it isn't just information. So number one under B there, wisdom springs out of a... Oh, no. I used the spring, so it caught you there. Good. It springs out of a relationship that is deep-rooted in our soul. Okay? Wisdom springs out of, or comes out of... Yeah, the spring through you. Okay, that was a good guess, though. So it springs out of a relationship. Okay, it's that is deep-rooted in our soul. A, it begins with the what? Something of the Lord. It begins with, I should have put the instead of It begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, I think it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? It's the beginning of it there. And it's talking about there at that place is wisdom. So wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And really, what is that fear talking about? Scared in a corner? Reverence? That's one of the words. I've got three words here. Reverence is one of them. What's another word we think about? Respect. Yep, that's the other word I have here. Respect, reverence, and I put it, the other one is trust. We trust a trust for God. So there's a respect for God. If you fear God, it doesn't mean we're hiding in a corner afraid. It's not afraid. It's fear. I fear Him in the way of respect, in the way of reverence, in a way of trusting in Him, in this kind of way. So B, Talking about wisdom. It cannot be obtained without salvation. Cannot be obtained without salvation. Now, there's a lot of things can't get without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God, without the. But what I'm going to say ultimately here, wisdom cannot be obtained without salvation. So, which brings us to number two. Point number two: the fool cannot use wisdom. Right? The fool cannot use wisdom. Again, verse 7, it says, wisdom is too high for a fool. So, do you ever wonder why Proverbs uses weird? Why don't you just say what you mean? Right? You ever wonder why Proverbs has a lot of weird sayings? Strange sayings? Proverbs is a book of what? It's kind of a book of. Well, it's a book of wisdom. Yes, it's a book of wisdom. But it's one of the poetic books, right? It's kind of written in a way of poetry. It's kind of written, like, why did they do that? I don't know. Because God did, right? Because He said so, right? That's it. So, but it's meant to be sometimes there's some different thoughts to get in here. People like, I mean, you know, all peoples of the world have some kind of wise sayings or these kind of things, and it's something that we stick. So it kind of, it's a little bit pithy in a way. It kind of has some little ways that we say things that, but listen, he says it this way. He said, wisdom is too high for a fool. There's a lot of definition in here. So A, the very requirement of wisdom makes it unreachable for the fool. So in other words, the fool can't even get to it. It's too high for him. It's out of his reach. That word is too high is talking about it's elevated or it's lofty or it's, I think of a, you ever do this with a kid, little kids, you know, like a 3, 4, 5 year old, you got something, you're like, here it is. If you can get it, you can have it. And, you know, and you just, you know, I mean, I don't do that much anymore, but we used to do that when we were younger, you know, kids, and you try to do it. And the truth is, you can hold up, there's no way for them to get it, unless they kick you in the shin or something. There's that. But the idea of this is kind of the poetry of this verse is it's too high. It's too high. It's out of their reach. Now, we're going to find this a little bit described. Keep your place here. We'll be back to read that verse again a couple times. But turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're gonna find Paul talking about this to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. And in verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, we find this truth from Proverbs is really being meted out again. It's God's wisdom again. Wisdom is not intelligence. No amount of learning can enable one without Christ to reach unto wisdom. You can't just get smart enough. Yeah, so I've had this. People want to come, and this is challenging how to deal with this. I'll tell you, folks. I've had people come to me at times and say, can you give us marriage counseling? Lost people. Do you do marriage counseling? Absolutely, I do marriage counseling. You know what marriage counseling to a lost couple is? The gospel. The gospel. You know what I say? A marriage couple comes in, they're having problems. You know, this couple, they're having problems. You know what the first thing I'm going to tell them? Hey, you know what? Until your life is connected to God, and your life is connected to God, you're never going to be connected together, right? Right? But watch this. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other, right? So where does that start? You have a relationship. So marriage counseling. So people say, hey, what about, and I'm going to talk about this again in a little bit, but, you know, what about my kids? My kids are, what can I do? You know, this dad runs around drinking, cussing, has left his wife, but he deals with his kid, and he runs around, and all of a sudden he says, man, my kid's a mess, what can I do? You know what my counsel to that kind of person is? The gospel, right? There is nothing, you know, well, let me tell you, if you come to church 3 times a week, right, and if you start reading your Bible every day, it's going to really help you. No, can I tell you what? No, it isn't. Except for in the sense you're getting closer to the gospel, right? So the fact is, you can't know enough about God. You can't learn enough. You can't get enough intelligence. You can't get enough knowledge about the things of God without a relationship. It's unreachable for the fool. It's really out of the reach. It's too high for them, for the foolish. So number one, the fool, and we find this here, the fool has chosen to reject the things of God. And we even there in verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, there's two things he doesn't receive it. They don't receive it because they've rejected Christ, and because they've rejected Christ, they can't receive it. All right. Under that, therefore, they cannot receive wisdom. Could somebody have wisdom? Can you have wisdom without applying what you've learned about God in a way that aligns with God's will and God's purpose? So let me say this. What if somebody really knows a lot about the Bible? I mean, they are become a Christian counselor, right? They are become very, they know all the verses, they know the places, they know all the scripts. I don't mean the prescriptions. I mean a script to say, hey, here's what we say here and here. Well, can a person like that get to a place of wisdom? No, that's not how wisdom is acquired, right? It's not acquired by piling on knowledge. It's acquired by a relationship that's rooted in the soul with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then when we get some knowledge, we apply it according to His will and His purpose, as we've learned from the Word of God. So, B, nor so what I say, A, they cannot receive wisdom. B, nor can they even know wisdom. They can't even know it. You ever tried to share something spiritual with somebody, a lost person? I mean, yeah, but this part, and while you're sharing it with them, there's this blank look. They look at you like you got a third eye or something. They look at you like they have checked out. They're looking at what you just said, which makes perfect sense to you, scripturally, biblically, spiritually, makes perfect sense to you. You'll say it to them and they'll look at you like they don't get it at all. Have you done that before? You've seen people like that? It's like there's just this blank look. There's an inability. They have an inability to comprehend spiritual truth. Okay? So this is kind of what we're finding here. It's not in the natural man. This is what sometimes this is frustrating in our country where sometimes what we want to do is we want to legislate morality. Right? We want to make a law that says prohibition, you know, no alcohol, right? Because this is going to be good for society. Amen. Yeah, yes, it's going to be good for society. Now, could you imagine if there was no alcohol sold in America? It probably wouldn't be sold as much as it is around the world as well. There'd be no DUIs, right? There'd probably be a whole lot less battered wives, abused children. Right, a lot of these kind of things that are connected with this, but can we legislate morality? Can we make a law to make people behave right? Remember how that worked out. The Tommy gun became a pretty popular thing at that time. I mean, it just, the gangster, can you imagine they made a law to say this is what we need, and it was so much crime and mobsters became so wealthy, they said, just kidding, y'all go ahead and drink. That's what happened. We couldn't do that. Now, we've tried this. We've tried to do things like legislating morality in the way of abortion. You know, and folks, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You know, I think, you know, do you think abortion ought to be legal? No. I don't think you should be allowed to kill your baby. Of course not. But what we found didn't help, did it? Didn't help. And now we've gone and we've tried to make laws, putting them back to the states. I think that's a good effort. I think it's probably the best effort we've had in my whole lifetime. I was born the same year Roe versus Wade passed. Thankfully, I was born first, maybe. I don't know. I might have been. Anyway. So, we haven't stopped people from wanting to kill their children. You know, there used to be, in a lot, some places still in the books, sodomy is against the law. You go to prison for it. Go to jail for it. In some counties, it's still on the books. I don't think it's enforced anymore. Probably if it tried to be enforced, they would. We couldn't, none of the laws really got people to follow some moralistic thing. And so, now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You say, Pastor, you think we should just not have laws? Are you a libertarian? No, I think we should have laws, and I think it's good. I'm just saying, we're not going to give some knowledge and make people righteous and give wisdom. It's got a wisdom comes from a relationship with the Lord. Now, number two is, by the way, listen, wisdom is not, watch this, difficult to acquire. The Father has given wisdom to His children freely. So when we say, and the Bible says that wisdom is too high for the foolish, we don't kind of mean this kind of, oh man, it's really hard to be wise. It's really, really hard to be wise. You've got to study the Bible a long, long time to be wise. Is that true? The answer is no. You got to be saved a long time before you can be wise. No, folks, that's not. Listen, it's not difficult. Look over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and verse 25. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, and so he's dealing with these folks, and they're wicked, and some of the towns are wicked, some of the things going on that he had done some works in. And so we find Jesus praying, and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. So when he's talking about wise and prudent, he's talking about wise and prudent in the world. And this is man's wisdom. He talked about it over there in 1 Corinthians 2. Listen, he's giving it to babes. This isn't something that wisdom can come right away. It can come right away with somebody that will apply. Listen, how much knowledge do you have to use it? Any, right? Well, you know, I don't have that much knowledge of God. That's okay. And I'm not saying that you're saying this, but if somebody says, I don't have that much knowledge, I don't really know that much about God, here's what wisdom is. Applying what you do know about God that's according to His will and His purpose. If you say, you know, I just don't really know much about Him, that's called ignorant. Okay? We're not accountable, in a sense, if I'd say this, we're not accountable for what we don't know. Right, unless we've took ourselves out of the place to get that knowledge. I'm just not going to church, so I don't know anything, so I'm not accountable. Okay, that's not exactly how this works. But the thing is, with this, is once somebody gets saved, once somebody learns something about God, what do we do with what we learn? That's where wisdom comes in. Okay, I've learned God says this. What am I gonna do with that? So there's two kinds of responses to that. The fool does what with it? Rejects it, right? The wise is one that applies that. Does that mean we're going to apply it perfectly right away? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, some of the... My early Christian life, can I tell you, my early Christian life was riddled with mistakes, and it's almost embarrassing to think about, but can I tell you, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to hear something from God. I wanted to sit here. When I heard something, I would sit there thinking, how does that fit in my life? Now, was I like a wrecking ball at times? Often, okay? Often I was, and... Man, do I wish I was a little bit better then? Yeah, but maybe I had to go through some of that. But the difference between the fool and the wise isn't how much they learn. It's what they do with what they do know about God. But it says here, we're talking about here number two, or A under that. But those that reject Him, but to those that reject Him, wisdom is hidden, is what He says there in Matthew. He says, in this Jesus Christ saying to the Father, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent of this world. Those that go through this life without Christ, I liken them to living in a dark room with sunglasses on. Right? You ever seen somebody, maybe they were in a like this, you come here during the day without these curtains yet. We're working on that. Yeah, we're working on it. But during the day, you could almost use some sunglasses sitting right up here, right? But you ever been in somewhere where you got the sunglasses on, or maybe you're sitting outside, and all of a sudden the sun slowly goes down, and you forget you have sunglasses on, and you're sitting there, and somebody walks in like, "What are you doing?" You know, right? Or you're in a room and you didn't have lights on and all of a sudden, somebody will come in. Well, our family will do this a lot. Maybe we're sitting there talking or watching TV or something, and the light is not on because it was daylight. And all of a sudden, like, they walk in, but your eyes adjusted slowly. And so somebody walk in, like, "Why are y'all sitting here in the dark?" And you're like, "I didn't realize I was in the dark." Right? This is what the fool is like. This is someone going through this life without Christ. Is they are like, they're sitting in, not necessarily just the fool, sometimes it's the ignorant, but going through this life without Christ, they're in a dark room, but on top of that, they have sunglasses on. But here's the thing. Here's the thing where the fool differs from that a little bit. They think they know and understand what is going on, but they don't. Right? And you try to tell them, "Hey, man, there's so much more to life than this. You know, there's Jesus Christ and what God has done." And they're like, "I don't need that stuff. That stuff is just for, whatever people." And they're sitting here in a dark room with sunglasses telling us how much they know about what's going on around them. And you're like, "Man, didn't you just see this over here? Like, that's not there." Or you say this, "Man, we prayed. I got some vertigo. And I made it into church one Wednesday night, and we prayed. I went back, and it was gone." That's just coincidence. You're just giving that credit to God. You know, they're there with the sunglasses. They say, "No, that's not there." And you're like, if you could just take those off. Don't you wish you could just take them off from somebody for a minute? Doesn't work like that, though. You can't try on Christ. This is the problem. You can try out church. You can try out moralism. You can try out Christian ethics. You can try it out, but you still don't. Without the Spirit of God, you're still with the sunglasses on in the dark room. And so we can try to help people clear it up, but this is why the best way we can get them off is by sharing the gospel. And if they get saved, Paul, who was Saul at that time, it says it was like scales removed from his eyes, is what he said. Wow. You know what it was? It wasn't, he was blind. He was blinded by God, but it was more than that. It's all of a sudden, he understood what was going on in this world that before he thought he did. And later on, he realized, "Oh, man, that's what's going on." I missed all that. B, the fool has no desire for wisdom, nor does he spend any energy to get it. So we're back in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 7 again. Wisdom is too high for a fool. So number one, therefore it is too high for the fool, it is out of their reach. out of the reach. I said that before. I just want to conclude this part with that. Now, onto that. Notice the result of this inability to reach that that wisdom is the rest of verse 7. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. So, number 3, the fool cannot speak. He cannot speak. We find here not what is attempted, but what is accomplished. So, what this verse is talking about, it's not what the fool attempts to do, but it's what it's accomplished by it. So, number 1, in the gate speaks of the place of the meeting of the minds, where they would come together to speak. A lot of times the gate, the men, sometimes the business would be done there and different things, but it's the place where there would be gatherings. So the idea of at the gate means maybe where business is transacted. Maybe it's where people come together. That. So A, the fool openeth not his mouth is what the scripture says here. So number 2, this doesn't mean he didn't say anything. On the contrary, right? Look at, we see in verse Proverbs 15 and verse 2, it says this, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools pour out foolishness. I mean, it just, right? It just flows, right? You've seen somebody, they get started and it's just like they can't stop it and it's a bunch of ridiculousness. So it doesn't mean, when it says they stop their mouths, it doesn't mean they don't, they doesn't mean they cannot speak. It means they can't speak anything with wisdom. The fool doesn't keep silent, but the things spewed out are too low, is what it's talking about. And then B, his speaking commands no respect. And actually loses esteem among the righteous people. So it's this one that is there that attempts, watch this, he attempts, or she attempts to give good counsel, but the counsel is so far removed from righteousness that what they reveal is they don't really know God. Right? You ever had somebody like this? Well, let me tell you about God. And they start telling you about, well, here's what the Bible really says. And they say a bunch of, and I've had people say stuff. And I said, that is not in the Bible. Well, yes, it is. I said, well, I'd like you to show me. I said, and I'll try to be nice. I said, if you show it to me, I'll be sure interested to make that a part of my life. Well, I don't know where it's at. So the fool will actually, they attempt to give this counsel, but they reveal that they know not God. See, no one goes to them to receive advice. No one goes to the fool to say, hey, could you help me to get in as ignorant a situation as you are? Right? And if any is given, and if the fool does give any advice, it's of no account. Because often nobody goes to the fool to get advice. But the fool sometimes will come and give it anyway. And what do you do when a fool gives advice? You're like, okay, I'm going to do the opposite of that one. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's given no account. So B, he may have a babbling tongue in private. Watch this one. In private. But in the presence of the wise, he is utterly unfit to give judgment. So watch this. Be cautious of this right here. Be cautious of those that only speak in your ear in private. It might be that they don't want their foolishness to be challenged. Hey, listen, if somebody will only tell you something where, hey, listen, I just don't think this right thing, you shouldn't do that. This, you know, I don't, you should do this thing instead. I don't think it's a good idea. You know, this. They want it to be just private. When I see somebody that's always wanting to whisper on, they just want to have this private conversation. You know often what it is? They don't want their foolishness to be challenged. If somebody can't say, and I'm not saying everything, you know, sometimes it's private things. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here with this. But if it's giving you advice, try this number with them. Say, I'm going to ask somebody else about that. Like, give a name of somebody. I'm going to go ask, you know, Brother Bob about that. I'm going to ask the pastor, I'm going to ask somebody about this. You know, I'm going to ask them about that. And all of a sudden, they're like, well, you know, watch how it comes then. Right? And so there's, this is kind of part of the thing. Number one, again, it is not that the fool has some mental defect, but has willfully chosen to reject the Lord's way. And the fool cannot appreciate, comprehend, or otherwise say that which would be considered wise. I'm going to burn through this last part, and then we're going to go. Number four, what should we do with the fool? Chapter 26, Proverbs 26, actually deals with this. Verse 1, it says, you know what? I'm not going to get into that. Because that's a whole part, and if I rush through it, there's some good stuff there, and we'll get to that. Man, I'm just not good at time management on Wednesdays. I'm thinking, man, I got plenty of time. I even had extra 5 minutes. Amen. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you what. I have, and I was... get this thought kind of where we let that be a real mark for others trying to talk to you as well as you to talk to others. If your counsel, and I've said, you've heard me say this before, but if it's not in here, don't tell somebody to do it. In other words, I mean, don't say God said this and what you should do is this. Now, if you're going to give your advice on experience, that's okay. That's fine. But give your advice on experience. My experience is this. But what I've done, you may be able to repeat and you may not be able to repeat. What God did with me, God might not do with you in the same way. That's advice. That's okay. Make sure you qualify. But don't say what God wants, what pleases God for everyone is this thing, unless I can show a place right here. And so, first of all, let our advice, our counsel come from here. And second, let somebody else go ahead and challenge it. Right? Maybe we find out that I was the one that's following more tradition than the Word of God, and they'd help me by giving some counsel. Now, nobody wants to be reproved, right? But there's times, and amen. So, wisdom is just too high. It's too high for the fool. They can't get it. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time. Thankful for your word. And Lord, it's chock full of the knowledge of you. And Lord, it's just full of your ways and your purpose and your will. And yet, Lord, somehow we leave it and go figure it out on our own. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to truly be Bible believers. That we would really look for our purpose from your word. Look for our pattern of life and our boundaries and our convictions from your word. And Lord, let it be the one that guides us. And Lord, help us to be those that would seek to apply that which we've learned about you in a way that would align with your will and your purpose. And Father, we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name.